Amen. Let's pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us your word, whereby we can gain a greater understanding of who you are, your promises for us, your call upon our lives. And tonight, God, we just soften our hearts right now where we are. No matter where we've come from, no matter what has gone on this week, Lord, we surrender our lives and our hearts to you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak in a great way tonight, that encouragement would come, that life and the bread of heaven would come through your word as we look to it tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Joining the King's Mandate with Joy. When we hear the word joy, what words come to your mind? Probably words such as laughter, overflowing happiness, smiling faces, uplifted countenance. If the fruit of the Spirit, if part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is it realistic to believe, to think that those who are followers of Christ can be and should be joyful at all times? What about when the storms come? What about when trials and difficulties come? Are we really supposed to be happy? Are we really supposed to be smiling all the time? When my body is sick, when my children might be a little bit challenging at times, when that person in our life presents us with challenges and growing in the area of patience, are we expected to be overflowing with joy in all of these things? I mean, do people actually live this way, and don't their faces hurt from smiling all the time? The truth is that the Lord does call us to a life of joy. We are admonished to be joyful at all times and in all things. Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In his presence is fullness of joy, joy that is overflowing, joy that is everlasting. That means that every time we worship, every time we call on the name of Jesus, we invite the Holy Spirit to be present in our hearts and in our lives, he fills us with a divine, supernatural joy. You see, there is a joy, according to the word of God, that is everlasting, that is overflowing anytime we need it. And this joy that comes from the Lord, it never runs dry. It never runs out for our lives. This word joy should have a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding in our lives than just always smiling and always happy. This word joy that the word of God talks about, it is an assurance, it is a hope, it is a deep faith of knowing who it is that we belong to and that our lives are in his hands. Do we live a life of joy in every season, in every situation that we find ourselves in? Do you jump for joy? Some of you might be thinking, well, if I jump for joy, I might twist something or break an ankle. Well then, does your spirit jump for joy? Does your spirit jump for joy knowing that Christ meant for us to be filled with his inexpressible joy? There is more to this word joy that the Lord intended for us to know and to walk in. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, we're going to look at chapter 12, verses 38 to chapter 13, verse 4. In this chapter, we see the setting of when King David takes his place as king over Israel with the help of a great and vast mighty warriors, a great army of God. The beginning of this chapter in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it describes how David was still a fugitive on the run for his life from Saul. But in this time, David's army begins to grow extensively, as men begin to join with him to perform the will of the Lord to set David in as their new king. Thousands of men, it says, began to join with him from each and every tribe. Thousands of men began to join with King David to stand with him, to unite with him, to fight with him, to cause the kingdom to be strengthened under the direction of the Lord. Verses 22 to 23, it tells us that as thousands upon thousands of men began to join with David's army, it grew into a great and vast army, the army of God. It says that these men, they were equipped for war for the purpose of turning over the kingdom of Saul to David, according to the word of the Lord. In these verses, in this story, it describes King David's mandate, his main focus as king, which was to lead the people to honor God in his presence, to build and strengthen his kingdom. These verses show how the army that gathered together with David, they had one mind, they had one heart, they had one purpose as they worked together. And the main verse in this passage that stands out tonight, that shows us what propelled these men, thousands upon thousands of men, to be loyal, what strengthened these men, what kept them united in the call of God, is found in verse 40. It says, "For there was joy in Israel." These warriors were filled with joy. It was a joy that came from a deep, divine, spiritual purpose rooted within their hearts. David's men joined with him in his mandate to honor God's kingdom, to honor his presence, to strengthen the kingdom. They joined their king in his mandate with joy, it says. It was a joy that strengthened them. It was a joy that motivated them. It was a joy that gave them purpose, that gave them a hope. This very same divine joy is spoken of in the New Testament as well. Jesus Christ joined his Father's mandate with joy as well, didn't he? We know that there was a divine mandate upon Jesus, who is described as being our King, the very King of all kings. The mandate upon Christ was to prepare the way for mankind to be reconciled to be brought into relationship with God, to be able to live for all eternity with him. And Jesus prepared the way for this mandate to come to fruition through his birth, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. His very mandate was to build his Father's kingdom. It was to build his church. And in order to show the love of God, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord regarding our salvation, Jesus had to pay the ultimate sacrifice with his own shed blood. We know, the story tells us, that he went to the cross to die a death that was undeserving to him. He went to the cross to die this death, this undeserving death for every one of us, that through his blood, our debts would be paid, that through his blood, we would be able to receive forgiveness of sins and be brought into this relationship with God. Now, we can only imagine, we can barely imagine the weight of this mandate that Christ carried, the weight of this burden of knowing what was set before him, of knowing how painful and how excruciating his death was going to be. As a man, the emotions that he must have felt, the weight, the grave burden upon his body and his soul as he prepared to carry his cross where he would be nailed and sentenced to death. And yet, in Jesus' darkest hour, in his deepest need, in his heart-wrenching cries, there is a verse in Hebrews that gives us insight into how Jesus Christ was able to endure such excruciating pain. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we know it well. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father." How is this possible? How is it possible, church, that Jesus could have endured the cross with joy? For sure, we have never experienced anything in our lives like the crucifixion. And yet, in our darkest hour, in our deepest pain, can we say that we have this kind of a joy? Not an overflowing happiness and laughter. That's not what this is talking about. But a deep, passionate joy that is filled with assurance and hope in who we belong to. This joy is possible Because this joy that Jesus experienced, that we are called to know at all times, it is a joy that is created. It is a joy that is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that comes by faith. It is a joy that is deep within us, that no matter what is going on, we live surrendered to the plan of our Father, surrendered to the will and to the mandate of our King. And that is where our joy comes from. Jesus joined his Father's mandate with joy. This kind of joy is actually unspeakable, isn't it? It is difficult to describe to those who are not surrendered to the will of God what this joy is. Are you thankful tonight? I'm so thankful tonight that there is a joy that is everlasting. There is a joy, church, that is full of strength, that is full of hope, that comes from knowing our life is in his hands. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Psalm 27, verses 5 to 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Some of you need to allow your heads to be lifted up above your enemies tonight. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You see, when we tap into the divine joy of the Lord, it shifts our focus. It brings us out of our sorrow much quicker, doesn't it? It helps us to be kingdom focused and to pursue the mandate of our Lord and King. There is a joy tonight. There is a joy that is unspeakable. There is a joy where there are not enough words to describe this kind of joy that is powerful, that if we can tap into it, it will change our attitudes. It will encourage our soul at all times. This kind of joy, if we can tap into it, it will produce fruit and anointing in a greater measure than we ever thought possible. C.S. Lewis said this regarding joy. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. And this is the truth tonight, that the Lord's supernatural joy, it is connected to the business of heaven, of building his church. David's army followed their king and his mandate because there was a supernatural joy that lived within them. Jesus pursued his Father's mandate by surrendering to him in all joy. Our King's mandate upon our lives is to build his church, is to be loyal to, is to strengthen his house by building one another up, by using our giftings, by giving our lives away, by drawing into this house those who were lost and lonely, that they may find their home in Jesus Christ. Will we respond to give our lives away to this call? Will we respond? Will we give of our time? Will we give of our finances? Will we give of our service, of our prayers? Will each one of us dig deep? Will we respond with joy? Will we receive and walk in this joy that is unspeakable, this everlasting joy to fulfill the call upon Christ City tonight? In this generation, in this day, there was joy in Israel. They pursued the kingdom of God. There was joy within Jesus as he pursued his Father's plan. And when they were led by joy, it produced a few aspects, the same aspects that are meant to be produced in our lives. Number one tonight is the joy of the Lord is our strength. How many can say amen to that? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. The men that joined King David's army, they were equipped for war. How many know it's a good thing if you're going into battle to be equipped, to have the right weapons, have them sharpened to be skilled in knowing how to use them. These men were strong men, both in the natural and in the supernatural. They had their weapons and they were skilled in them. These weapons were sharpened and they joined David. They joined their king according to the word of the Lord. You see, when the word of the Lord comes to our lives, it requires us to be skilled. It requires us to have our weapons sharpened, to know how to use them. It requires us to be strengthened in the Lord. The word of the Lord has come over this house. The word of the Lord has come over this church multiple times about the salvation of the Lord that is coming. The word of the Lord has come over this church about increase, about us being a people who are united, who flow in the river of God as the Lord would pour out the abundance of his Holy Spirit. We have heard these words in recent seasons over the years. We have heard these words. The word of the Lord has come multiple times in this area, and we each have a purpose and the call upon this house. According to the word of the Lord that has come through prophetic words, that has come through many, many different guest ministries, the word of the Lord that has come through fasting prayers as we have united together and gained the vision of the Lord deep within our spirits. Are we responding to this vision, church, with joy? Are we responding to this when the weaknesses of our flesh arises? When the enemy advances against us, are we rising up in the strength of the Lord with joy? For the one whom the Lord calls, he also strengthens. Nehemiah 8, 9 to 10. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 21, verse 2, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. For sure there will be sorrow, there will be pain, but the Lord reminds us that there is a joy that he desires to bring to us in the night season. There is a joy that he desires to bring into us, that it would be our very strength. This joy must keep us surrendered, must keep us loyal to the call upon this church, upon his church. Jesus himself was strengthened by the spirit of joy with the call upon his life ever before him, ever rooted deep within his spirit. May we be challenged tonight to be strengthened in the joy of the Lord. You can seek out strength in many different avenues, many different ways in this life. But the Lord challenges us, he promises us, and he calls us to look to him, and his joy will be our strength. Number two, the joy of the Lord produces a loyal heart, one mind. 1 Chronicles 12, 38 to 40. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali were bringing food on donkeys and camels, on mules and oxen, provisions of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine and oil, and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. For sure this army experienced weaknesses of the flesh. For sure this army experienced many, many enemies. For sure they experienced difficult terrain, but they made a commitment to be loyal. They made a commitment to be loyal, to be united to the will of the Lord regarding strengthening his kingdom. This army gathered together according to the word of the Lord. They were ready to fight for God's kingdom. They were ready to fight for the Lord's will to come to pass. Are we ready to fight for the Lord's word to come to pass? They were of one mind, it says, all because there was a joy within their spirits. There was a joy that was set before this army within their hearts, a joy for their King David, a joy for their Almighty King. And this joy, church, because it says that they were loyal, because it says that they were united of one heart and of one mind. This is what this joy did within their spirits. Because they were devoted to their King, because they were devoted to the plan of the Lord, this supernatural divine joy, it caused every bit of division to be rooted out of their hearts. They chose to get rid of the division. They chose to search out their hearts and to say, Lord, let us be loyal. Let us be united of one heart, of one mind. If there is anything within us that is causing us to be separated from your plan, from what you want to do, when we have the joy of the Lord upon our spirits, just as Jesus was loyal to his call, he was united with his Father in his call. When we have the joy of serving him, when we reflect upon the fact that Jesus endured the cross, and you can be sure that as Jesus was looking upon the cross, what was he looking at? He was looking at every single one of us. He was looking upon our freedom. And he understood that on the other side of his being united with his Father, that on the other side of being loyal to his Father, on the other side of being committed to the plan of the Lord was our freedom. It was our breakthrough. It was our salvation and our eternal hope in Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus endured it with joy. With joy. With joy, as he said, I am doing this for the sons and daughters of my Father, that they would be set free. And church, when we reflect upon that, when we think upon the fact that Jesus endured the cross with joy, there should be a shouting and a rejoicing with joy in our spirits. There should be a fresh commitment to be united as a brothers and sisters, as the body of Christ. May there be a fresh loyalty, a new resolve within us to be committed to the cause of Christ as he committed his life for us. May this joy reside within us so that we can be loyal to the call upon his house, so that we can be united with one mind, with hearts that are not divided. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem others better than himself. The joy set before the Lord, it caused him to be united with his Father's will. May we be united, church, tonight. May we be united, Christ City, family of God, in our joy to serve him and to build this house. And number three tonight, the final thing, the joy of the Lord moves us forward in the work to build his church. 1 Chronicles 13, verses 1 to 4. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who were left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who were in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together with to us. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. David's army was full of joy. This joy led them in their purpose. This joy strengthened them. The divine joy of the Lord caused them to be of one heart and one mind because of the joy of the Lord. And now they set out to do the work of God, to bring back his ark, to bring back his very presence with joy leading them and joy fulfilling them. There was a deep purpose within these men. What a great example to us. Powerful story to us, a deep purpose within them to do the work of God, to set their feet, to set their hands, to serve, to work together, to restore and to build God's kingdom. May we be the church of God who has a deep God purpose within us. Do you have a deep God purpose within you tonight? The Spirit of the Lord is calling to every person that we would have a deep God purpose within us, that we would be led to do the work of the Lord that is needing with exceeding abundant spirit-filled joy. I love that as soon as David was seated on his throne, I love that his immediate thoughts were concerning the ark of God. Let us bring the ark back to us. Let us honor God. His very first mandate, his very first call, the very first thing he wanted to do was to honor the presence of God, was to show respect to his presence, to the place that he abides. They feared the commandments of God, these men. They had a divine mandate from their king to retrieve the presence of God. And Jesus told us that his mandate was to build his church. And he calls us to join with him. He calls us to work with joy, to serve with joy, to give with joy. He calls us that in light of his sacrifice, that he gave his life for us. Come on, that should be enough for us. With a joy set before him, with a powerful love for us set before him, would we also serve? Would we also give of our time? Would we give of our finances? Would we give of our giftings to build this house? And would we do it in all joy? Would we do it in all love, in a manner of honor and respect for our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords? Let's have the worship team return at this time. Jesus speaks to us about his mandate upon us to abide in him, to plant, to plow, and to bear fruit. In John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11 and verse 16, this is what it says. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you. Listen to this, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things that he spoke to us concerning us abiding in him, concerning us being anointed to bear fruit, concerning us remaining close to him, being obedient to his ways and to his joy, to his word. It was all for the purpose that his joy would remain within us. But not only that, but that our joy, it would be full. It would be overflowing, everlasting, our very hope at all times. There is a divine joy that we are called to tap into. Can you rejoice in that tonight? We celebrate him tonight. We celebrate his joy tonight that he has given to us in the name of Jesus. Let your countenance be lifted up. Let your heart be lifted up where you are tonight. Let your head be lifted up afresh tonight in the name of Jesus. For the joy of the Lord is coming to break through for you tonight. The joy of the Lord is coming to break through your pain in the name of Jesus. The joy of the Lord is coming to break through your discouragement. Wherever you are tonight, the Holy Spirit is saying, lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up your heads, O church, for the joy of the Lord is here. What a great thing we can rejoice and what a great thing we can celebrate. David's men joined their king in his mandate. They were strengthened, they were loyal and of one mind, and they set their hands to work for this mandate, all because there was joy in Israel. Can you say joy tonight? Joy. Joy. Hallelujah, Lord, for his joy. When joy leads us, when the assurance of our salvation, when the kingdom mandate leads us in all manners, the Lord pours out his strength when we are weak. There is a unity, there is a loyal heart, and we will be ready to set our hands to work for God's church, to work that his church would be made great. Jesus made his way to the cross, and in his darkest and deepest hour, in the most difficult time of his life, he made his way to the cross with a joy set before him, knowing that on the other side of his sacrifice, on the other side of his time, on the other side of his obedience, on the other side of his being committed to the Lord was our freedom, was our salvation, was our spiritual victory and abundant life in Jesus Christ, was our eternity. Acts 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, speaking of the trials and the difficult things of life. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, but only that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. May we run this race with joy, church. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. I pray that we can be encouraged to join with our King tonight in his mandate to build this church, to see the word of the Lord fulfilled over our lives with exceeding and overflowing joy, always looking to Jesus, always looking to the author and to the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, but he endured the cross with joy. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. Let us receive this word into our spirits tonight. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord tonight. If you are here tonight, listen, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, he's calling you home tonight. We encourage you to come. We love to pray with you and give you a Bible. Do not leave tonight without knowing that you belong to him. If you are here tonight and you have need of prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you. But let's celebrate our Lord tonight. Let's receive the spirit of joy deep into our spirits tonight for his glory and for his kingdom. Amen.